Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
What a prophetic word from God. We need bridge builders, not bridge breakers. Amen. Remember, Bob Jones said, any old mule can kick a barn down, but it takes a skilled carpenter to build one. And he's called us to build skilled carpenters, hasn't he? We're to build up the kingdom of God, amen, not tear it down with a fence and all that. Well, how many's ready for the Word of God? Have you prepared your hearts for the Word of God? I'm convinced that if we will do like my grandma used to say when she said, go get that wash rag, Terry, and wrench it out. I believe if we'll look at the man of God given today and say, wrench us out, give us all you got, we can pull the word of God out of him and get a prophetic word for this moment right now. Amen? Welcome, Steve, back to bring us back to the word of God.
I'm going to start off and tell you the truth. In one sense, I don't have the slightest idea what I'm talking about. It's something that the Lord has been working on my heart about, and last week we've been looking at some things, and Pastor Terry wanted me to finish about the idea of fasting and the fasting of God. And I'm going to tell you the truth. This is way beyond my pay grade. So I'm going to, as we get to it, I'm going to read some stuff, and you're going to have to flesh it out, just like I'm going to have to flesh it out. And I'm going to ask you, as you flesh it out and as you get revelation of what true fasting is, come and talk to me, because I'm going to need some help with it myself. One of the things I'm going to do, and I'm going to tell you right up front, I have some mental brokenness. And like when I read, I can be reading something and I cannot say the next word. Just like Jacob had that limp, I have a limp. You know, it's interesting. In my pride, I would never tell anybody that. But in my humility, I must let everybody know. God is breaking us of our pride and of our lifting ourselves above our brothers and sisters. And only by you bowing your knee, admitting your need, and coming to your brothers and sisters can you be made whole. See, the thing is, yeah, I got a problem, but you're going to have to love me through it. Yeah, I got a problem, but you're going to have to love me through it. And see, and that's a good thing. That's a real good thing because it causes us to reach out and love people when they're with their flaws and not criticize them. I'm going to tell you, Christians slap too many people. You know what I mean? We slap too many people. We point our fingers at them, we criticize them, we do all that kind of stuff, and that's not God. Last week I was looking at the story of Jesus when the boy had an epileptic fit, and Jesus came down from the mountain and he deals with his disciples about it. The man basically tells him that his disciples tried to cast the thing out and they couldn't do it. And here is a thing that I find that is the key to understanding and seeing what unbelief flows from. In Luke 9, 37, verse 41, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, faithless, your faith isn't flowing because there is a perversion, there is a twist in you. And here's the twist, here's the problem. And Jesus asked this question, and he asked it to me, he asked it to you. He says, how long shall I be with you? And bear with you. If you get that answer wrong, you will go to unbelief. Now, how long will God be with you? He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And then he says, bring him to me. Bring him to me. Bring that problem to me, because I will never leave you, nor I will never forsake you. Bring it to me. And if you miss that, you're twisted. And from that twist, you'll enter into this place of unbelief. The Lord showed me, it's like you have a gun and dinner is sitting right there, a big old buck ready for you to drop. Right before you, your fingers are on the trigger. Why don't you pull the trigger? Dinner's right there. Mama put the plate right on the table there. Why don't you come up and eat? What's wrong with you, boy? Why don't you come in here and eat? See, that's unbelief. Something is causing you not to come to the table. And the thing that's causing you that is that twist. It's that twist. Because we're saying, well, how long will God be with me? How long? God will never leave me, nor will he forsake me. And once you lose that, you'll slip into unbelief. And then it goes on and tells us that Jesus basically does his thing. He speaks to that demon, and he casts it out. You notice he didn't ask God to do it? Now, I'm going to say something to you, and this may upset you, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, I believe in saying it in the name of Jesus. You know why I say that? That's for your benefit, not mine. Because you need to know. You know what I say? Go, devil, leave now. See, I don't say in me, in the name of Jesus. Because you know why? I am in the name of Jesus. See, this ain't no hocus pocus. In the name of Jesus is not some magical spell. Either you're in him or you're not. And if you're in him, you can do all things. All things. You know, to see, when you have to say in the name of Jesus, were you trying to back it up with something? No, you need to be in that name. And then you need to, because he spoke to it and he commanded it to leave. He didn't say in the name of the Father, in my name. He spoke to it because he knew who he was and he knew whose he was and he knew what he was called to do. See, that's where you're going to have to get to that place. And then after that, it says that they left and they went into a house. And then the disciples asked him, why could we not cast it out? The it is what? The demon. Why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. And then it's interesting, he goes on basically to say that even if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, get up, move. And he says, it'll obey you. But then he says this. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. What is he talking about there? Was he talking about the demon? No. What was he just talking about? He was talking about unbelief. And he said, now this form of unbelief will not come out except by prayer and fasting. Do you know that there's different forms of unbelief? All unbelief is not the same. One form of unbelief is the lack of knowledge. You just don't believe because you don't know. It's called being ignorant. You just don't know, and so therefore, you don't do. Another form of unbelief is an empty heart. You just don't have it in your heart. And there's another form of unbelief I call in your face. It's because what you are seeing is causing you to back down. And he says, that type of unbelief, the only way you're going to get rid of it is by prayer and fasting. Prayer, what is prayer? It's basically having an intimate relationship with God. Do you know that the Word of God is not enough? There have been, throughout all history, churches and people who had the Word of God. But it wasn't enough. You got to have the Spirit of grace. You have to have a living relationship with Him. See, because if you just have the Word, you'd be like Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve had to try to add to that word. We can't even touch the tree. God didn't say that. Why did she add that? Because she needed to boast something. No relationship. But man, when you got a relationship, when you're standing in the presence of God, you can tell that thing, go. I said, go. And you know what I like to do when I do that? I like to, because it scares the mess out of the devil. I like to do a quick go. And man, he back off then very quickly. But then he goes on, he talks about fasting. And I'd like you to, if you got your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 58. And here's where I'm going to just kind of read that. And I need someone to go to, somebody have the NIV? I'm going to need your help, because if I go blank on this, somebody's going to have to yell out the word to me. See, the thing is, I can humble myself. Because you know why? Y'all love me, and you can't help yourself. Because that's what we are. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord, so we can't help but love one another. And if my nose runs, you'll wipe it for me. There ain't nothing like having a family. You know, I love y'all. I've lived most of my life alone. Pastored for I don't know how many years. But it wasn't until I come here that I have held a real family who loved me. And ain't nothing like being loved by your family. Over in Isaiah 58. Now I'm going to go through this and don't get mad at me. I'm going to just read what it says. He says, shout it out loud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion. And to the descendants of Jacob, their sin. So the first thing you have to do with fasting, you need to come to a place of truth. That's the first thing that you, when you start to going to be fasting, after I have this relationship with God, after I get into this intimate position with Him, here then is I'm going to have to be honest about my life and everything else around me. For day after day, they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commandments of their God. You got to get rid of all pretense. Sometimes that's hard. But I got to be truthful about myself. I got to be truthful about where I'm at, what I'm doing, and what I'm not doing. You ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near Him. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Now here is the problem. Yet on the day of your fast, you do as you please. You exploit all of your workers. Your fastings end in quarreling and strife and in the striking of one another with the wicked fist. He says, you cannot fast as you do today and expect to be heard on high. What are you doing in your prayer time? Are you criticizing people? Are you praying for God to get them? I mean, y'all laugh, but you know that's how you pray. Boy, slap them into hell, God, because I'm so righteous and holy. And you know you do that. Well, maybe you don't. I know I do. Boy, man, I've prayed some wing diggers, boy. Man, I get half the people in hell right like that. You know, no problem. But see, that's the thing that we have to be looking at when we're talking about a true fast. And what is it really what a fast is about? It is separating myself unto God that the power of God may come into me and move me into his righteousness. That's what fasting is about. I am separating all of me unto God that he may move me and empower me to fulfill what he wants. It's not about me. He says, is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a person to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed? And for laying in sackcloth and ashes? See, all that's about me. Oh, God. See, fasting is not about you. It is not about you not eating. Not eating is called a diet. Die it. Whatever the it is. It's not about that. It is not about you not doing. Fasting is about you doing. Fasting is about you surrendering and letting God get you out of the way. And for you then to bow your knee and to do whatever he's asking you to do. Man, you know what? I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I want to whine and cry and oh, I'm this. No, lay all that to one side because there's stuff that you're going to have to do. There's going to be people you're going to have to love even though you don't want to love them. There's times in which you're going to have to get involved even though you don't want to get involved. I've had times of trying to get involved in something, and God told me, ain't none of your business. Keep your nose out of that. And then there's other times, I sure wanted to keep my nose out of it. But he said, no, stick your nose in that. And I'm saying, but they're going to bite it off. He said, yeah, that's right. But still stick it in there anyway. So at least when they bite it, they have a piece of something. Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fast I have chosen? Now, I'm going to tell you, this is what God, this is the type of fast he has chosen so you can get past your unbelief. Now, I'm going to go through this. There's three movements. Three times he's going to list stuff that you're not supposed to do. And if you don't do them, he's going to show you the blessings. Three movements. To loosen the chains of injustice. To untie the cords of the yoke. To set the oppressed free. To break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry? and provide the poor wanderer with shelter. When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh. Oh, Lord, there's a lot of people in my family. I don't want to be bothered with them. I don't want to be bothered with them. And you got a whole bunch in your family, and you may be one of them. I'm just being honest. You may be one of them. And people are going to have to love on you. And he says, now, if you deal with this, if you deal with the unjust, the yoke, and see, and what he's talking about is not just the natural people don't have money or whatever. There is a spiritual depth of bondages and yokes that are on people. You know what? I'd rather give you $5 than to listen to your problem. You know, that's easy. I'll give you $5. Go away. But now when you got a problem, you know what happens? I'm going to have to pay attention to God, and I'm going to have to pay attention to you. It's bad enough I had to pay attention to you, let alone to listen to God at the same time. But see, that's what we're talking about. That you make yourself available. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes I do this a lot. Sometimes I hate it because I'm saying, God, I don't have the slightest idea. This person is talking about this problem. I don't have the slightest idea. And I say, God, now what you going to do? What are you going to say? And for some reason, he says something. Duh. He comes through. He enters into their problems. He has me say something. And see, at that point, you have to become vulnerable. See, and by doing that, you get past unbelief. The more times I do that, and the more times he shows up, less and less do I have unbelief. Because you know why? Every time I come to God and submit to him, he shows up. And so unbelief can't stand. Oh, he ain't going to show up. Yes, he did. He done it the last 100 times. Why won't he do it this time? See, you have to have a living experience with God. And see, that's what this type of fasting does. It causes you to get involved in the thing of God and behold the movement of God. See, that's the only way you will get past unbelief. You hear in prayer what he says. And then you take an appropriate step. And by doing that, unbelief is broken. Because unbelief means you what? You don't believe. Unbelief means you don't do. And the moment you start doing, unbelief has no more power over you. I don't have to see it done. I just have to respond to God. I don't need to see it. I need to respond. And in that, my faith is released. You know, faith is not built by miracles. You know, the children of Israel had miracles. But when they got across that Red Sea, they went right. Miracles don't produce faith. It's hearing God and responding to God. I mean, I've had people have truly a miracle in their life and still act like a heathen. Miracles don't produce faith. It's you receiving inside here what God has said to you, and then you take a step. Even though the world may not understand what that step is, maybe they don't look big, but somehow you let your heart cause you to step out. And that's the beginning of your faith being released. And look at verse 8 there. It says, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. You need some healing? Start to step out in something that God has said. Just start doing something that God has said, particularly for somebody else, and your healing will start to flow. And your righteousness will go before you. God has already made you righteous, but it doesn't flow until you take a step that you hear and then you start to obey. And then that righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Something can't sneak up on you now. As I'm starting to walk in the things of God, something can't sneak up. See, that's one of the things we're also always worrying about, our past or something else behind us. If I start to do what God has called me to do, nothing can get me. Nothing can creep up on me. I can be as ignorant as a turnip. But you know what? I'll be okay. Because you know why? I'm stepping and moving toward God. And he says, and then you will cry, and the Lord will answer you, and will cry. You will cry for help. And he will say, here I am. Here I am. If I take a step and start to walk in the things of God, he will always show up, and he will always say, here I am. And then the next movement, if you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and the malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy their needs and of the oppressed, then he says, then your light will rise in the darkness. And your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in the sun-scorched land. And will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. And he says, and then your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and rise up the age-old foundations. You will be called the repairer of the breach. If you start to move in these things of God, God will then cause your light to shine. He will lift you up. But you're going to have to deal with those things that are oppressing people around you. Quit closing your eyes. Quit closing your eyes. Somebody is going to have to stick out their hand and help them up. God has been showing me that this time, this age, there will be a great move of God, a great revival. And we're going to have some people who are willing to change diapers. You're going to have a lot of young Christians. They may be old in age, but they'll be young, and they won't know a thing, and they're going to poop all over themselves and everything else, and you're going to have to be willing to clean that up. Now, that's the truth. Babies poop. We've got two little kittens. They fill up that little box every day. I got to clean it every day. Thank God they go there. And not only poop, they're going to throw up on you. Now, that's the truth. You know that. That's what babies do. They drink that stuff and smile. They just go all over you. All over you. And people will throw up all of their mess and all of their yucks and all of that stuff, and you're going to have some mature Christians who can wipe them, clean them, and mature them. Question is, are you going to be that person? Are you going to be that type of servant of God? Last movement. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, and from doing as you please on my holy day. If you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable. And if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, the Sabbath day. What's the Sabbath day? Well, we think Sabbath day is Sunday. Well, that's true. But you know the Sabbath day is more than that? The Sabbath day is God's day of rest. The day that God stands up and is Lord. That's the Sabbath day. The day that He's Lord over all. And if you call that being the honorable day, and when you stand up and say, no, Jesus is Lord. I don't care what's going on. I will rest in Him. I will stand in Him. I will not be moved because Jesus is Lord. And you don't talk all your nonsense. God says they're healed, they're healed. Man, but they've been ugly. Oh, they've been, I don't need your idle words. I don't need your words that don't have power. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is sovereign. That's the Sabbath day that I rest all of my being in that truth and don't move from it. Whether I live or die, you know, I'm going to die one day. So, and you know what? When that day comes, you know what I'm going to be saying? I'm healed, I'm whole, and I am free. I don't care what anybody else says. Well, he died from cancer. No, no. I got liberated from cancer. What are you calling your days? What are you calling your life? And then he says, and then you will find your joy in the Lord. I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. Jacob, the one who rebelled. Jacob, the one who walked with a limp. See, have you learned to walk with your limp? Have you learned to embrace your weakness that God can manifest His glory? This is the fast that God has called you to. One that will cause you to go outside of yourself and allow Him to use you. This is a fast of total commitment. Too many times we call for a day of fasting. God calls for a life, living the fasted life. 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Good word. Good word. Pastor Terry wanted me to share just a couple things real quick. He's not with us today. He's feeling a little under the weather, and so he wanted to be here. So these are his words. And so I love getting up here, getting to say whatever I want and say, well, Pastor Terry told me to say it. I'm just kidding. He's at home right now and said, boy. But I do. He does want to emphasize this. You know, Mr. Stephen is giving us the heart of God right now about unbelief. And I believe what the Lord gave Stephen about there's going to be a great harvest. I believe we're on the cusp of that right now. I believe if you can't watch the news. But there is revival sweeping this land right now. There are students in college getting baptized. There are churches. There are churches right now saying we're having more people attend than we have ever had before. So I believe the Bible is saying for such a time as this. And we can't, as he was saying, there's going to be young people coming in. I believe that's in age and in maturity and in both. And we got to get ready. And so Pastor Terry's heart and our heart is this. We don't want to just be hearers of the word, but we want to be doers of the word. So I want to give you just a couple call to actions right now that if what you have heard this morning resonates, because these are what Terry jotted down. He says, you know, unbelief typically comes from judgment on yourself. You're judging yourself about things that you believe just aren't true. You know, and so we got to get in agreement with God. So if any of this resonates, I'm just going to list this off real quick, but I'm not good enough and I'll never be successful. Well, then you don't believe the word of God. That's not about self-belief. This isn't about some sort of, you know, secular humanistic way of, well, I've got to work on my self-esteem. No, this is just about believing what God said about you. Amen? That in him, like Stephen said, I can do whatever God called me to do. I can do what, I'm too old or I'm too young. I don't have enough money. I'm not smart enough. I'll never be the best. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough talent. I don't have enough experience. See, all of those are lies of the enemy. And Stephen brought it, he says there's three things that unbelief, it gives us a doorway. He said what? Ignorance. Your heart just don't know. You don't have a heart for it. No motivation. Yeah, I know what's in front of me. I don't have the heart to deal with it. Or this last one, he says, where it's in your face. And it's right. So here's what I want to give you today. I want to give you a quick call to action, something you can do. If the enemy is lying to you in any of these areas, I want you to do this. Reach out this week to one person and forgive or reconcile with them. Send a call, send a text. There's someone that the Lord is bringing in your mind right now. It's not right. It's not right. Well, this is the word of the Lord. Make it right. Be the bigger person. You right now, write it down and say, oh, I'll send them a text. I'll send them something. Thinking about you, love you. But right now, think about that person. Choose to bless someone this week that everything might be right, but it's strained. You know that there's someone, there's a friend, family, or foe out there that, you know, it's just a little awkward. Reach out to them, offer them coffee, do something, bless them. Now, is this putting our faith to the walk, or is it not? I mean, we can hear this stuff all day, but if we don't do anything, what happens? See, I believe when we get in alignment with God's word, we're going to get in alignment with what God's doing. And God's doing a great thing in this land right now. So here's something else you can do. Find a faith partner in the church. And for the next 21 days, you share your struggle. Now, it's got to be someone you know and you're good with. But you come in contact with them and you say, this is what I'm going through. What are you going through? And let's do something together so that we can fight this demon together. Okay? Because one could put what? But what two do? Oh, they can get ugly with it. You can't, I mean, it just gets ugly when you get two. So do that. And here's just something I put down that I'm going to do. If it's write a letter of gratitude to someone who has helped you grow in the faith. Write a letter. This is Clergy Appreciation Month. This is a great time. It don't have to be a pastor on staff. It don't even have to be a pastor. But someone who's helped you. This is a season right now. Say, I see what you did. I thank you for what you did. And I want you to know I appreciate what you did. Amen? Amen. And lastly, take an action of faith. There's something I'm sure God is calling you, telling you to do, and you need to do it. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it looks like, but you need to do it. Yes, sir.
So here's my action of faith. I understand that at this point in time, the life group ministry is without a head. Is that a true statement? So what you've done through God, brother, as we were talking about changing diapers. This is an awesome group of people. But like moving the Israelites out of Israel, it's a huge overtaking. But when we come together in smaller groups, then we can feel that life action. we can take things that are inside here that are either good or bad, and we can bear one another's burdens. We can laugh with when you're laughing, and we can cry when you're crying. And I'm challenging me, okay? If you want to take your faith to a family and become part of a faith family, then you need to get involved in a small group. Now, we had a discussion just this last week, and I'm taking time, but we need to take the time for this body. The number one reason why there are not more than 5 or 6 groups for this entire 400-member house is because we are afraid to commit, my brothers and sisters. That's part of that unbelief. We're afraid to commit to do something. And I'm going to challenge you to commit to say, number one, I want to be part of a group, and number two, I want to host it. You see, the other part, and I'm saying this out loud, it's been inside. I've led small groups for over 25 years. And I'm going to challenge us, brothers and sisters. You think you have to be a minister. You think you have to be smart. You think you have to have all kind of resources and Bible knowledge to lead a group of brothers and sisters. No, you're not leading. You're facilitating. You're asking the questions. How are you this week? What did God challenge you with out of the message that Brother Steve just brought? How has it affected you? And then I'll encourage you also, when you meet with this group, share some food. Share some coffee.
That's your marketing incentive.
Because there's something about breaking bread together.
That's right. That's right.
That opens doors and brings trust.
Lowers temperature.
And lowers temperatures.
You get relaxed so you can fellowship.
Because, yeah, in your small group, there's going to be some mess. We've cleaned up a bunch of messes. We've made some messes. But over 25 years, we don't have the same group of people that we had 25 years ago. People come and go. But when I see someone that was in a group that was I was part of, if it was 10 years ago, I can still walk up to them today. And there is that connection. You see, it's family. Amen. Family is forever.
Amen. Amen. Get involved. Get involved. Go see Lee.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.